Blog Talk Radio.
From the military bases across the U.S. and the world to the filthy jihad encampments spurting up across the Middle East and broadcasting from a small, specially reinforced, highly patriotic single-wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell, Memorial Day, happy Memorial Day, live show here, 523-1450 to call in. And I got a lot of stuff on the... A lot of stuff to tell you about. The thing I want to jump into before I get into any Memorial Day stuff is the amazing weather that's out there. Texas is experiencing unprecedented flooding, and there is a strip of severe weather that goes up from, I mean, all the way across Texas up into Oklahoma and Nebraska. It goes into Louisiana, Arkansas. So basically from Texas all the way up to Canada, you've got storms. So let me just play a couple of clips for you. There was 10 inches of rain on the Blanco River in 24 hours. And one of the associated lakes rose 7 feet. It's amazing. There's a picture. There's a video of... San Antonio, the Riverwalk, people are standing looking over the Riverwalk, which is over the banks, and there's water just pouring out of a tunnel area. So, but here is weather.com. There is a 40% chance, I believe 40% chance of a tornado in that area, and I think that there's already been one down. Here's a little bit more in the forecast. And here's a little bit more... tornado watches, major flood rolls downstream in Texas. Well, actually, I just played that one, but I've got some other clips here from... I've got one clip here from actually the BBC, another one from the Washington Post talking about the number of people that will be displaced or have been displaced, and it's very tragic. Some of the stories and some of the pictures that I've seen, overpasses just completely covered with debris where the flooding went up 10 feet at least. Just unbelievable amount of flooding. And it's not, I mean, here's the sad thing for those people. It's not even over yet. It's it could be many more inches to go. And I've got a clip also from the residents of the Blanco River, but here is a little bit from, this is from the Washington Post on this. And some great pictures on this, which unfortunately you can't see, but Red River, a river flooded with red, and just as far as the eye can see, flooding, then up onto a bank and farmland. Oklahoma City Fire Department saying the statement it had rescued more than 70 people after the drenching storm had triggered these floods. And here's a little bit from the people who were in the area from Wimberley, Texas. That's pretty sad. Now, we do have some flooding, in case you're curious, in New Mexico, and I've got a little clip of that, too. Numerous roads closed after overnight flash flooding in eastern New Mexico. And so this is just from the last day or two, and it's from just a little clip here I've got for you, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk about Memorial Day some more. We did on Friday, but you, in my opinion, can't really talk enough about what they consider to be the most solemn day on the calendar. Here is from New Mexico, flooding, eastern New Mexico. All right, so anyway, there's just a lot of moisture in the air over Texas and the eastern New Mexico, so I assume some people are coming back from that direction. Anyway, Memorial Day. Memorial Day is the day that we honor the living and the dead who have served America in the military, and not just the servicemen and women, but their families and friends. And so here is a little bit from Whitney Houston. 6:14 on Memorial Day, the 25th of May. It's 53 degrees outside. I'm Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, the number to call in, 523-1450. It's Kelly. Happy Memorial Day. It's about 53 degrees outside. The high today is going to be 84 or around there. And the low is, according to one source, 55. Another one says 60. So it'll be very pleasant. All right. Here is about, I played a little bit on the history of Memorial Day. It goes back to the Civil War last Friday. Here is another clip, a little bit more detail for you. Thank you. Huh?
I would have guessed just a couple of snakes. Must have been very small snakes.
All right, and a little bit more on Memorial Day. All right, so anyway, just a little bit on the history of Memorial Day. America has had a history of, as everybody knows, of entering wars to help other countries. Now, I guess that changed somewhat when we went into the Gulf War the second time. Although, I'm sure that... I guess what I mean by that is that we had a tendency to, not start wars. And I think the Gulf War, the second one, was seen as the first time that we had broken that, which is not really true. I mean, the first Gulf War was a war that we chose to start, but we didn't. So anyway, not to get into a big conversation about that, but that's one of the things that I liked about that movie, this American Sniper, is it wasn't necessarily a pro-war movie, but it was pro-soldier. And I thought that was important. And so I wonder how many of the wars in history, human history, which human history seems to be the history of warfare, would be considered to be just wars according to this St. Augustine definition. You go into the war for the right reason. It would be interesting to find out. 523-1450. This is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. And just spending a little bit of a Memorial Day with you. I've got a few local stories for you, so when we come back, I'll get those to you. Here's Whitney Houston's Star-Spangled Banner, probably the most spectacular one I've ever heard. It's 6:29 on the button. It's 53 degrees outside. We will be right back. I have a bizarre story of a tragedy that happened up in Albuquerque that is just kind of jaw-dropping. A man and a boy were killed in a cherry picker accident. A cherry picker is one of those, it's basically, these things that go, that take people up on the side of buildings and allow them to wash windows as opposed to being on the scaffolding and everything. They can go up to like 60 feet high. There was one of those that was set up in Albuquerque, and the person who was running it, I think, was kind of giving some kids a ride in it. It was fully extended, and according to witnesses, a gust of wind hit and pushed it over, and basically, you know, a couple of the people in the basket were killed. Very weird story. That's a story in the national news, of course. Wow, just totally bizarre. A report that increased police presence at the weekend Red River Memorial Day motorcycle rally, which is the first, I guess maybe that's the first rally after this shootout. And I've got one more story here for you. Nearly one third of female inmates in New Mexico mentally ill, according to one researcher, one group. And check this one out. Well, and I mean, the fact is that New Mexico is famous for having poor facilities for the mentally ill. There's supposed to be 1,500 beds in the state for a population of our size for the mentally ill. We used to have 150, but if Five West is closed at Memorial, as some people claim, it's just less and less. So what they're depending on is psychiatric medications to take care of these people. But if you're in jail, you can't get the full medications that you need. You may not even get some places any of the medications. I mean, it's an appalling situation. Anyways, take a break. 6:39. Kelly O'Connell, 53 degrees out there. 84 is the high. 55 is the low. And we will be right back. Right. So we've looked into the history of Memorial Day a little bit. Weird accident up in Albuquerque. Very, very bizarre. Have to really feel bad for that family, although what was that guy thinking, you know? Probably thinking, you know, we'll just do it without securing this machine and nothing bad will happen. All right, some headlines for you. I wanted to look into the state of the military over this next coming hour. There are some things that you basically already know about, one of which is there's an increasing sense in the military and in the rank and file and in with the officers that the military has been kind of, I don't know what the proper word would be, but that the administration is not really honoring the military, is not, you know, is trying to shrink it, and that our particular commander-in-chief does not care for the military. He's not a military guy. He has no experience. Although we are involved in a number of conflicts overseas, the president seems to enjoy the drones more than the military. Maybe that's just my impression, but one of the frustrations that's come up, and 523-1450, if you have an opinion, is the media is basically trying to get Republican candidates for the presidency to admit that it's been a giant mistake that we went into Iraq. Now, it maybe was a giant mistake that we went into Iraq, but do you really expect Jeb Bush to go into great detail of what a stupid maneuver it was for George W. to go into Iraq, his brother? So the guy still has to see him at Christmas or whatever, and they're probably close. Now, let me ask you this. Would the problems in Iraq, and this is an open question, 523-1450, would the problems in Iraq be as bad if the following president hadn't made certain strategic mistakes? And there's an article out here right now that was written by, trying to think of the guy's name, but he's a very famous, a member of a famous conservative Jewish family, saying that basically, or whatever, however you pronounce his name, ISIS rises, the economy falters, and Obama's legacy falls apart. And basically, the claim is that the way that that it was handled was by Obama was with indifference, so that the legacy, the gains that America had in Iraq were not, basically secured by the president. Now, there's a couple of theories out there. Number one, why this happened, because now we see that ISIS is operating in these areas. We decided to pull the military out of Iraq, which left a vacuum, because the current Iraqi army seems to, when it gets opposition of any level, it seems to run off screaming, drop its weapons and run away. There is one theory out there that Obama just didn't really think strategically about the area, and he left. And the second one is that he never, he ran against, when he was running for office, he was opposed to the Iraq war. He made that part of his platform, and he wanted to not support the Iraq invasion in any way because he was totally opposed to it and thought it was a strategic error. Another theory is he was trying to sabotage the U.S. over there for whatever reason. And another one, I guess, is that some people think the guy's a Muslim or whatever. But anyway, there is very little, although I guess I have heard some people say the way that he's handled the Iraqi situation has been good in the extent that we withdrew our troops. But now we're being asked to go back and fight ISIS. And ISIS is making these incredible gains. So if you are a Democrat, how do you feel about all this? I mean, there's got to be some sense of frustration or regret at some of the decisions that have been made over in the Middle East. No matter how far to the left you are, if it's putting the entire area into conflict and danger. All right, so, but what is there to be gained by getting all of the Republicans to admit that it was a mistake to invade Iraq? Because if we had kept the ground that we had, secured it and everything, and if just say, for example, that Obama had gone against this promise to leave, if he decided to stay and said it's a lot more, the situation is a lot more complex than I realized. We'd still be there, and I do have a phone call. We'd still be there, and ISIS wouldn't be, dashing through it. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sergio. Good morning, Kelly. How you doing?
Good morning, Sergio. I'm fine. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, go ahead, Sergio.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just called a comment on the Memorial Day. I'm a former veteran, United States Marine Corps, and I'm appalled at the hypocrisy this country has, from the administration on down to the people itself. You know, honoring these poor fallen soldiers who sacrificed their lives for the freedoms that are being eroded, there's no outcry in this country about that at all. And you ask how the Democrats feel about this. The Democrats don't feel anything at all. They voted this guy in twice. He has lacked the ability to act upon the country's best interest, in my opinion, and even worse on the militaries. He's stripped the military of some of the best generals they have, downsized it. It was probably like 65%, from what I understand, maybe slightly less, of non-Americans in the military. I'm concerned about that, Kelly, because if there is, in fact, an agenda for martial law, these non-Americans who are trying to get their green card would probably not hesitate on killing American citizens.
Well,
but I'm going to tell you something.
That seems a little bit rash. What do you base that on?
Well, look at the fact of the veterans, the Veterans Administration. Okay, look at the downsizing of the military. Now, I'm telling you, these soldiers that have sacrificed to be turned over in their graves, if they were to find out what they give the totality of their life, you know, for a country that's not crying out for this lack of, what do you call it? The lack of trying to keep freedoms.
Well,
you know, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, what if we could get everybody who is on the ground, everybody who's in the line of fire, what if you could get every one of those to be someone who's trading their time in the military with becoming an American? That would be like an army of mercenaries, I guess, but that would keep Americans out of the line of fire. It would also give the people coming in and becoming citizens an education in how the military does stuff, which is very efficiently and by respect to authority. It would also be an opportunity to train them in language and also the history of America. That doesn't seem like such a bad trade, does it?
No. I mean, okay, I see your point, and it's a good point. But I say that there's nothing better than an American serving to preserve our freedoms, giving him more pride, the country more pride. And that's just not happening, Kelly. It's just not happening.
Well,
there's no draft anymore. And these people are, you know, they one day out of the year that they're supposed to remember the vets. Remember, I'm a former Marine.
Yeah.
And when I came, you know, and when I was in the Marine Corps, 73 to 77, and the people there were disgusted with us, baby killers and everything else. And, you know, and now because of this, I mean, there's a hypocrisy here that has to be seen. It has to
take it. Sergio, I don't think we're going to be – we're running out of time here. I got a couple more ads to run.
But
let me ask you this. You don't see anything changing before this particular commander-in-chief leaves, do you? I mean, he just doesn't seem like he's that enthusiastic about the military.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm trying to, you know, point out. They make this one day a solemn day of, you know, remembrance. Tomorrow's going to be different. You know, they're all going to choke on their steaks today, and they're going to get drunk. And, you know, this should be an ongoing thing all year long. It's not. And what you said about the commander-in-chief is exactly right. And it's not going to change. As a matter of fact, I see it being more butchered up as far as our military strength. That'll keep peace.
Well, I'm sorry to hear these words from you, but I can't really disagree with them. Anything else?
That's it, Kelly. You have a good day, and thank you for
Memorial
your time.
Day. Yeah, happy Memorial Day to you, Sergio. All right, folks, let's take a break here, and we will be back. Kelly here, 656. Just reading an article from the LA Times that's talking about the separation between the military and the normal or the regular population of the United States, 50% of the military members live in five states: California, Virginia, Texas, North Carolina, and Georgia. Most people in America do not have have a dog in the fight in terms of the wars in the Middle East. And so they say, the LA Times says, we've developed a war, or we're developing a warrior class, where increasingly the people that are in the military go through these incredible events of being deployed and redeployed and seeing their friends and even family members maimed and killed on the battlefield. And in the meantime, most Americans have no idea what to be in the military or to fight in war, of course. Now, we have a completely volunteer military. They're taking 18,000 troops out of the military. I came across this clip from Vox that said the American military is so much larger than the rest of the world's military. It's astounding. We have 800 bases, some of which are just little landing strips, but 800 bases around the world. Now, my response to that is not that we should cut down the military, but why don't we use it? Why don't we go into, why do we act like we're in this fight in which everybody is basically kind of the same size? Why don't we go in to ISIS, who's just killed a bunch of people in Palmyra, something that we probably could have stopped amongst all of these other attacks? Why didn't we go in there and stop it? They killed a bunch of Christians again. There's people laying in the street in the middle of puddles of blood without heads. What a despicable way to die. This extraordinary military, but we don't have the will to use it. And it seems like the people at the top of the food chain in this country are totally conflicted and do not even believe in the military per se. And so they don't know how and when to use it. I've got a phone call here. This is Kelly. You've got 5 seconds. Who's this?
Okay, it's Mike.
Yeah, Mike, call me back after the break on the hour, okay, because I'm about to go to take a break. All right, folks. So anyway, the military is to be honored today on Memorial Day, and we'll come back after break on the hour. Happy Memorial Day. It's Kelly here, 706 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. I want to thank the Rawson family for sponsoring this show. And we've got a call back. It could be, maybe it's Mike. Hello, it's Kelly here. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly.
Mike, you finally did one thing you were asked. I'm impressed. Go ahead.
I always do what people tell me to do.
I can tell. I can tell you're that kind of a person.
Hey, Kelly, I was wondering, did you see that article on InfoWars?
There's probably 10,000 articles on InfoWars. Did you want to give me a little hint?
Okay, it's the one that says, Secret Pentagon Report reveals U.S. created ISIS as a tool to overthrow Syria's President Assad.
Let me guess. It's a conspiracy, therefore you believe in it.
Well, it was by Judicial Watch.
Judicial Watch? Sure. How correct have they been about these military bases right across the border? Al-Qaeda or ISIS military training camps, how correct were they on that?
I don't know, but ISIS just came out and said they're going to try and sneak a nuclear warhead into the U.S. That came out yesterday.
As usual, you're changing the topic, but go ahead. Anyway, your point?
Well, I'm just saying Obama's new strategy against ISIS in Syria is all about pushing the Qatar pipeline through to weaken Russia.
All right, so
he's going to use ISIS. He's going to use ISIS as a pretext for bombing the Syrian government force. It's all backed by Saudi Arabia, and they want to weaken Russia, so they want to push this Qatar pipeline through. That's their motive. And then what it's going to do is going to escalate a major conflict in the Middle East and North Africa. Huge escalation.
Mike, you told me one time that you're always right when you make a prediction.
Well, this is my gut. I go by my gut. And I feel this is right.
What is right?
I think it's right.
What is right? Be specific.
Well, you take like Ramadi, okay? You watch all these ISIS rebels marching, you know, with no opposition, in line. We could have sent 10 drones to take them out, and they're sitting there having a parade. What's the deal? We're using ISIS to take out Assad. It's pretty evident. It doesn't take a genius.
What is your evidence for that besides this article?
Kelly, do you
I'm just
honestly,
asking you.
No, do you honestly believe we can't take out ISIS?
Mike.
Do you believe we can't
I'm
take them out?
I'm just asking you to support your position. Do I think we could take out ISIS? Everybody thinks we can take out ISIS.
Okay, then why aren't we?
There's various theories on that, but one of which is that the president doesn't have it in his bones to go and attack these people. I mean, why that is, I'm not really sure.
But he has it in his bones to see women and children slaughtered and Christians.
Well, it doesn't seem to bother him enough to go in and attack these guys 100%. Why that is, I'm not sure.
This guy is a total psycho. Yes, he's a psychopath.
He's not a partial psycho?
He's a total psycho.
All right. Okay, Mike. So when is your prediction that this is going to happen?
I think that I think that you're going to see Israel move on Iran by September, and I think that
Israel
that's going to
move on.
But first, they got to take
Israel's
out. They got to take out
on
Assad.
Iran by September.
Yeah.
But I mean, this. Did you just say this? I'm asking for a timeline of the stuff you've already predicted, not new predictions.
All right, I'm going to say that they're going to be going after Assad. ISIS is we're going to use ISIS to take out Assad. And then in September, Israel is going to make its move on Iran.
But what are the what's the connection between the two things?
Because you got to take out Iran, Kelly. It's the Sunnis and the Shiites. You got the.
I understand
they got,
that.
They want
to. Mike, just try to have a coherent. Don't lay out everything you're going to happen. Explain how the one thing is related to the other.
Okay, you have Iran, right?
Yes.
They have nuclear. They supposedly don't have a nuclear bomb, right? Right.
Correct.
Or so they say.
All right, go on, please.
But they can lie to the infidel.
All right, but Mike, what's your point?
My point is it's part of prophecy.
Mike, do you understand that talking to you sometimes is like a closet in which a bunch of stuff falls on you?
Could I ask you one thing to explain to me, Kelly? Okay.
Mike, this is like talking to someone who's just come out of a coma. You understand I'm asking you to tie this stuff together, and you're making it even more, like, far-flung.
Okay, and the Judicial Watch shows that the Western governments deliberately allied with al-Qaeda and other Islam extremist groups to topple Syrian dictator Assad.
All right.
Who do you think's funding it?
I don't know. This is your theory.
You must have an opinion.
I don't have an opinion on your theory. It's your theory. You tell us.
Who do you think is funding ISIS?
ISIS is funding itself through petroleum, and various extremist governments in the region are funding them.
Okay. Are they getting the majority of their money through oil?
That is a good question. I've got to do some research on it.
Do you know much about this Qatari natural gas pipeline?
I have not studied it.
Okay, well, I rest my case.
Whatever the case was, it is rested. Thanks for the call. Folks, that is not exactly how you make your point. And here we've got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, good morning, Kelly. I just wanted to make a comment and just state that Mike sounds like he already has his jetpack on. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. All right, Mike. Get that jetpack fired up so you can fly across the wine fest. Okay, Mike's called back here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
I wish Greg would explain rapture theory to the people so they know what he's talking about. Jetpack, what I refer to as he's got his jetpack on, is rapture theory teaches that all the Christians are going to be mysteriously disappear before the tribulation starts.
Right. So what do you believe? Is there a rapture?
No, the church is going to go through. It's not biblical. Rapture theory was created by some sick woman in the 1830s named Margaret MacDonald.
Okay.
And she had a dream. And there's a book on it. It's called the, I forgot the name of it. But Greg ought to read it. Because what he believes is this John Hagee crap, that people are going to be raptured out. It's a bunch of BS.
Well,
hold on, Greg.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. it's pretty funny stuff there. All right, here's When Johnny Comes Marching Home. It's a song of the American Civil War. I was going to play for you this, speaking of wacky religious stuff, I was going to play the battle hymn of the Republic, and as I remembered, there was a disagreement on the theological meaning of the song, and the more research I did on it, the more amazed I was that it's basically a song, and I'll play a little of it for you later, but it's a song written about by Unitarians, which means a Unitarian is a person who believes everybody is saved into heaven at some point, but anyway, this is a kind of interesting story behind it. I'll tell you about it. But here's When Johnny Comes Marching Home. This was a popular song in the Civil War where people were looking for their loved ones to come back. Kelly O'Connell, 716. It's AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. It is 7:21. It's 53 degrees outside. The high is going to be 84, low 55 to 60. All right, I've got a little clip here. Obama on ISIS, I don't think we're losing. This is from CNN. It's pretty interesting. Check it out. All right, so that's a debate that is occurring right now. Now, okay, there's got to be some merit to the criticism of George W. Bush in Iraq because he himself changed his policy and they brought in the surge. So the initial strategy was mistaken. Now, whether or not you think we should have gone in there, it might have to do with your, you know, the party that you're in or whatever, but there was no doubt that we were provoked, we were attacked, and the problem with, which is basically a guerrilla war that Osama bin Laden was waging, is how do you attack the country of the people that send out the guerrilla war? If we wanted to attack that country, we would have gone in and blown up Saudi Arabia. We went over there. I think there was a large amount of expectation that we had to do something. But since the Al-Qaeda was associated with Pakistan, why not just go into one country that desperately needed the infrastructure and attack them instead? I mean, that was kind of a failed nation already. It's up to historians to decide whether it was a mistake to go into Iraq and what, or if it was, to what degree it was. But I think it is an unmitigated disaster to go in there, then pull out, and then wring our hands over what happens afterwards in the vacuum. You know, even if you're totally opposed to the Iraq war, it doesn't mean that we have to withdraw and then sit around while ISIS goes through and attacks all these people. It's just absolutely crazy. Now, here's a report that just came out, RT News, which I found very interesting. They knew, U.S. intelligence predicted the rise of ISIS. Therefore, the president could have done something, right? Check this out. Anyway, we predicted the rise. It's been stated before, and now in these documents that are taken out of mothballs, I guess, or brought out, it's become clear that we did understand that this was going to happen. So the question that Mike brings up, I don't claim to have an answer for it. And here's the question. Why would the president sit back and not do everything that he could? There's a couple of potential answers. One is he doesn't feel like he can go back into Iraq after having opposed the war in Iraq and having pulled out of there. Maybe on moral grounds, maybe ethical or philosophical grounds, whatever. Another reason is he doesn't really care. He sees it as a small price to pay, I guess. I'm trying to be realistic and also not try to be fair to the president and just trying to think it through. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the kind of a situation. Maybe the president thinks that if we go in there and stop ISIS, we'll have to leave afterwards, and then there'll be another ISIS that shows up. I don't know. He himself has not persuaded people. He's told people that we're doing everything that we can. Everybody, even a child, knows that's not true, because ISIS is just operating out in the open. If we were to go after these guys, we could go in and wipe them out. But then the question is, what happens next? And then you see, as we saw in Iraq, that going around the world and killing evil people and doing it in the name of the oppressed doesn't always work out. That's one of the tragedies of human life on Earth. It's something that was talked about in what was called the tragic vision, I believe it's called, is that you can never get rid of all sin. Now, here's an interesting thing. You can't get rid of all evil. I was researching over the weekend, the Higher Life movement, and as I was studying it, this religious movement, but it's kind of related to this song, Battle Hymn of the Republic. This it's got this kind of wild biblical imagery in it. There is a connection between these people that were in the higher life, called the Kennewick movement, these Unitarians, and what later became the Progressive movement. So a lot of things that we're dealing with in America now, such as or that we've dealt with in the past, believe it or not, the movement to get rid of alcohol, the temperance movement, was inspired in a sense by this kind of heretical Unitarian movement. We're still dealing with progressives today, and I will choose another day to kind of make my point, but I'm amazed at how many things in America, given our religious history, were started or were the result of some sort of a religious vision. Mike and Greg are fighting over amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial. All of this stuff has an enormous impact, but you don't see it, number one, because a lot of times you don't see what is motivating people. Like, we can't figure out what is motivating Obama. We don't really know. And because the media totally avoids religion, we don't have a working understanding of all these things that had a massive impact from the beginning of the country. I find it pretty interesting. Here's a brief clip on Syrian rebel terrorists butchering 300 Palmyra residents. And there are a bunch of pictures of people just lying on the side of the road, like stacked up like cordwood, beheaded. Why, if the president is opposed to Islamic terrorism, why doesn't he go in and take out these most radical terrorists? They appear intent on going all the way to Iraq. Good question, huh? What's your theory? Is he doing everything he can? 523-1450 to call in. It's AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We'll be right back. 735. It's 53 degrees outside. Going to be a high of 84, a low of 55 to 60. And are you going to the wine fest at the fairgrounds? 523-1450 to call in. Now, here's a couple more clips. Here is something, another thing from RT. ISIS fighters are in control of more than 50% of Syria right now. Believe it or not. Now, you hear that, and it makes perfect sense that all of these countries that these fighters come out of, for the most part, except Western countries, these fighters come out of these states, and these would be the most dangerous people in these countries. I'm sure that the leadership of these various Muslim countries that have total control over the media, they're being propagandized all the time against America and against Israel. The leaders are going to be happy to get rid of potential attackers against their own government. So it's a win-win situation for them. All right. I've got a little report here from the Business Insider that's absolutely fascinating, from the Institute for the Study of War, on ISIS is a state breaker. It's a report. Here's the Islamic strategy for 2015. I'm going to come back and give you just a little bit of that report. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. It's AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. We will be right back. All right, so I've got this report I just mentioned to you from the Institute for the Study of War. The author is Jessica Lewis McFate, a former U.S. Army intelligence officer who spent time in Iraq tracking Al-Qaeda. All right, so here is their goal is to remain and expand for 2015. They seek a global caliphate, and a caliphate is just leadership under Sharia law by a true leader, a caliph, a rightly instructed and led caliph. And that is really their idea of a theocracy, of course. Here is what they say in their own Dabiq magazine. The flag of Khalifa will rise over Makkah and Al-Madinah. Now, that's Mecca and Medina. Mecca is where Muhammad was from. It's the holiest of cities. And Medina is the city of refuge where he went when he was opposed. Even if the apostates and hypocrites despise such, this is, by the way, a direct quote, the flag of Khalifa will rise over Beitul Maqdis, Jerusalem, and Rome, even if the Jews and crusaders despise such. The shade of the blessed flag will expand until it covers all eastern and western extents of the earth, filling the world with the truth and justice of Islam and putting an end to the falsehood and tyranny of Jahiliya, ignorance, even if America and its coalition despise such. And it says their likely goal is global war, not limited war, but that they've got to control areas and secure them so that they can expand it. They've got to create more and more chaos to help drive these countries into a war that will then turn into a global war. Now, getting back to theology, if you study the theology, these men are Sunni. Men and women are Sunni. It is the Shia end time belief, though, their eschatology. The eschaton is the end of the age in Christianity, but the eschaton in Islam is an apocalyptic war that brings this leader out of hiding that has been waiting for centuries to come out and lead these righteous troops into Mecca and Medina and then into Jerusalem, where he's going to meet Jesus. And then they're going to go out and kick everybody's butt who is not Muslim. Now, here ISIS is framing its strategy across three geographic rings. First, the interior ring in the Levant, which is where Israel is, and Syria. The near abroad in the wider Middle East and North Africa, and the far abroad in Europe, Asia, and the United States. So they're still in the first ring, and have moved into the second ring, for example, they control Libya. And they've got three overarching goals: to defend inside Iraq and Syria, to expand operations regionally, and to disrupt and recruit on the global level. All right. Now, they say that Iraq is central to their plans, and it's central because of the fact that we brought a war there, and they want to answer this war. So they want to teach us a lesson in the area that we had once had conquered. And they appear to be on the verge of doing it. And then they also want to go into Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is not, you know, Saudi Arabia cannot be happy with ISIS. And so they are went down to fight them down in Yemen, which is at the tip of their own peninsula. That is their plan. Let's take a little break here. And 523-1450 to call in. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We're celebrating Memorial Day and the fallen heroes who have helped make America, helped create America and help make us strong. 745, we'll be right back. All right, Kelly here, and I've got a few more topics for you, one of which is this vote in Ireland and this massive support of homosexual marriage. Now, Ireland is a very, very conservative place, but at the same time, you wouldn't believe to what extent these countries like this, who we are always told hate the guts of America, have no respect for America, are influenced by America. That's why a support for gay marriage in this country is really almost a de facto creation of gay marriage around the globe, and whatever that means. So it's kind of fascinating to see, you know, because not too long ago, Ireland was almost a completely Catholic country. The north of Ireland is the most Protestant country in the world, the most Protestant-oriented country. And Ireland was one of the most Catholic countries, and now the church is really losing power there. It's amazing. All right, so here's another story for you. Greece. Greece is not going to be able to find the 1.6 trillion euros to hand over the International Monetary Fund next month, even though the IMF is giving them money. They don't have enough to give back. And so they're talking about a bailout. They're talking also about doing something that would totally destroy the European Union, which is a total default, after being helped out for an incredible amount of, you know, all of these poor countries over there have been helped out to a great extent. Now they're talking about the default and them leaving. And here's a little, just a little clip on this, how big the debt is in Greece, which is slightly reminiscent of America. €330 billion is what they owe, and so it would be a total disaster for everybody. Now, here is a little clip on the economic tragedy in six charts, and this is from the Peterson Institute, of what's happening in Greece that could dissolve, in theory, the entire European Union. Well, anyway, this is a little bit hard to follow if you're not watching the charts, but there is a worst-case scenario for Greece. And the reason that I'm bringing this on is because the impact on the world could be pretty big. Here's a worst-case scenario for you. And this is from Bloomberg. All right, here's a little bit from everybody's favorite economist, George Soros, on Greece. All right, so according to Soros, Greece is going down the drain. And so if Greece leaves the EU, which is, according to these guys, in part because everybody is angry at each other, and if the EU comes apart, has to break up, and they've been talking about the EU being taken apart or boiled down to the strongest nations, say down to Germany and France, and they would like the UK to fully commit and such, then they would hope to salvage everything. But it shows the strain on the EU from these underperforming economies that never were able to really make it. They weren't able to make it, and because the EU couldn't force them to become better economies or better countries, better run countries, the whole thing has basically come apart. Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in, Kelly O'Connell, and I'll take you out with a little Johnny come marching home. Have a great Memorial Day. Thanks a lot for listening in. Ciao.